There's some significant farewells in the Bible, aren't there? Farewells when a leader lays down his ministry and leaves some parting words. And they're usually significant when someone says goodbye and leaves for the last time. So you might think of the book of Deuteronomy, for example, which is Moses' farewell speech to Israel, 34 chapters long. Don't worry, I'm not going on for that long. You might recall Jesus' great farewell discourse and prayer at the end of John's Gospel, John 14 to 17. And what we've had Mark read to us is the great apostle Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. In every case, the last thing that you say carries a certain weight and significance. But I want to be clear that I'm choosing to talk about Acts 20, but I'm not Paul, and I'm certainly not an apostle. For one thing, they all got themselves killed, and I'm kind of allergic to death. But there are some absolute gospel gems in this passage, Acts 20. So if you would turn your Bibles back to Acts 20, it's on page 1130 if you happen to have the same Bible I have. I thought I might reflect on some of these gems with you as I say goodbye. By the way, goodbye comes from the old English God be with you, or God be with ye, or God bye, or goodbye. Isn't that interesting? A little kind of God thing in our culture. I wonder if my atheist friends know that. If they did, they'd probably be mortified. Feel free to bring that up the next time you need to slip God into a conversation. Well, Acts 20 then, I've got three observations, and I think the 3 points will come up on screen. There we go. First, sharing life and ministry. In verse 18, Paul declares to the Ephesians, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day until now." In verse 31, we're told that he lived among them for 3 years. So for 3 years, the church knew how Paul lived among them. That is, he shared not just his ministry, but his whole life as well. And that's gospel ministry. That's gospel community, sharing not just ministry, but our lives together. Please observe, what did they know about Paul's life and ministry in particular? Verse 19, they knew his humility. Verse 19, they knew the challenges he faced from opposition. Verse 20, they knew his teaching ministry. Verse 21, his evangelistic efforts. And now they know that he's going on to a harder ministry, one that the Holy Spirit has said will involve prison and hardship, verse 23. Friends, as I think about having shared our lives and ministries together, I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful for the life and ministry that we've shared together here. And for some of you here present tonight, that stretches all the way back to 2001 when Val and I first came here. And St. Alf's is almost completely unrecognizable from that church then. It's always been a tremendously rich and healthy church on a growth trajectory with many leaders, many opportunities to serve and minister. And to me, that's been super encouraging. But it's also meant that St. Alf's has been a complex and challenging place to exercise leadership in. Lots of different issues, lots of different challenges, lots of difficult decisions to make about what ministries to pursue and how, and what ministries not to pursue and why, and dealing with all the people and issues in the midst of all that. And it's been really complicated, but really fun, because God has used that, has worked through St. Alf's, has worked through our sharing of life and ministry to stretch me and to grow me and to prepare me for future usefulness for his gospel work, the work that the Holy Spirit is sending me to next. So, first observation is about sharing life and ministry and being thankful to God for that. Second observation is about fearlessness about the future. We've already noted verse 23. Please look at it again. The Holy Spirit has told Paul to expect hardships and prison and possibly even death, verse 24. You know, verse 25 says they will never see his face again. In fact, they never did. Paul did die for the gospel, and in the face of that, we read in this passage, absolute fearlessness. Verse 24, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Fearlessness about the future marks out the gospel person. Fearlessness also for the Ephesian leaders. He says to them from verse 25 to the end that there'll be all sorts of challenges to the gospel witness among them after he leaves. External enemies, internal false teachers. So Paul says, be realistic about the challenges to the gospel witness. Be on your guard. Be fearless about the future. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of God. Verse 28. I have to say, I'm so thankful to God for each of you, for the mutual care and partnership in the gospel that we've shared. Val and I have experienced incredible love and maturity of gospel fellowship, gospel partnership here. And more than any other church we've belonged to, we found at St. Alfred's a community of fellow believers, fellow servants of the gospel, who have encouraged us and given us good counsel and just loved us in maturing friendship, in prayer, in wise counsel, in humble service, in so many acts of personal kindness and support. So we praise and thank God for the love he has put in your hearts and hands towards us, and we know also to many others. And we thank God for our shared fearlessness to live radically Christ-centered lives here in Blackburn, but also to the ends of the world as we consider the gospel mission ahead of us. And just think of all the people we've sent out of this evening congregation to do just that, fearless in the face of hardship all around the world for the sake of the gospel. Well, my third observation is this. I want to commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are saints. That's verse 32. Paul knows at his farewell from Ephesus that it's the word of God's grace that is the key thing which will secure his beloved Ephesians' inheritance with the saints. It's the word of God's grace that will make us fearless about the future. It is the word of God's grace that will so transform us into the united body of Christ, able to radically share our lives and ministries together in a way that's completely foreign and alien to our selfish and self-centered world. Paul commends them to that word. He says, verse 20, that he's taught them that word publicly and privately from house to house. He says, verse 27, that he hasn't hesitated to proclaim the whole counsel of God to them over those 3 years. He says, verse 31, he's taught them for 3 years, night and day, with tears. So likewise, I hope you've seen and felt that that's been the focus of my labor and my love here, to commend you to God and to the word of his grace, his pure and everlasting word, able to assure us of his love and mercy in the gospel of grace, able to sustain us through all of life's ups and downs, faiths and doubts, able to powerfully secure for us that everlasting inheritance with all the saints in Christ. You only have to live a short while to realize that ministers on a staff team will come and go. But relationships will remain. They might ebb and flow as a simple function of time and circumstance. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the word of God's grace, kept close to our hearts and minds every day, that is the thing that will sustain all our lives and secure all our forevers. It's a great and precious promise from a great and loving God. As I leave this role, I want to say what an incredible privilege it's been to be your pastor, to shepherd this flock of God as his under-shepherd, to call each of us, young or old, to daily repentance towards God and faith in the crucified, risen, ascended, and returning King Jesus. to nurture and to encourage your faith in Jesus and your growth as disciples of Christ. I'm not ashamed to say I will grieve the loss of that role very, very greatly. I will miss the privilege night and day with tears. But I commend you now and always to the Lord Jesus and the word of his grace. It will build us up and give us an inheritance amongst the saints. And by his eternal promise, we shall certainly meet again with great joy. So to the Lord Jesus be all power, honor, glory, and strength. Amen.
Thanks, Rehan, for those final words. Yeah, we're going to stand and sing another song now together. So if you please stand, and then Peter's going to come and speak to us afterwards.
If you have a Bible, I'm going to refer eventually to Matthew 25, but it might take me a little moment to get there. It's my sort of mixed pleasure. I feel rather emotional tonight to begin the sort of thanksgivings and farewells to Weihan. As Weihan said and indicated, it is a privilege to be in ministry, and it's a definite privilege to be in ministry at St Alfred's. And I was reading that reading from Acts. What verse was it? Thinking, yeah, Paul didn't know what he was getting himself into. Verse 22, and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. And I was rereading that thinking, I wonder if Weihan's thinking, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to CMS. And I don't know what's going to happen to me there. But then every time you step into some sort of ministry role, whether you feel compelled by the Spirit or not, you don't know what's going to happen there. But a lot of good things have happened. So it's my pleasure on behalf of us to say thank you to Weihan for his ministry among us over these many years, and to then open up for others to say other things that they'd like to say. First of all, I'd like to give you a little bit of history, because I know Weihan likes history. Weihan first came to St Alfred's in 2001. I had just begun a new evening service for young adults, this congregation, and I had two student ministers, Weihan being one of them, and Stephen Petering helping me as we began this new venture. I commissioned Weihan as a student minister at the evening service of February the 11th, 2001, which was only the second week of the existence of this new congregation. So in a sense, Weihan has been with this congregation right from its outset. Weihan then preached his first sermon at St Alfred's in front of this new evening congregation, and it was March the 4th, 2001, and I don't know if he will remember this, but Weihan preached on Luke 6, verses 17 to 36, because I'd begun a series in the early chapters of Luke. And in that passage, it's Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, followed by Jesus' command to love your enemies. Now, you won't be surprised to know that Weihan went through the passage very carefully, explaining the passage to the congregation and then applying it to us. You may also not be surprised that at the end of the sermon, he gave us homework to do. It was to list some difficult people to love and some good things that we could do to show practical love. He was trying to figure out how to apply the scriptures right from the first sermon until tonight. Weihan then stayed for a second year of student ministry in 2002, which allowed him not only to continue to build on some of the ministries, but also to deepen relationships. We farewelled Weihan and Val just prior to Christmas of that year. And in his Christmas letter of 2002, Weihan said this: "A great sadness for us is that in December we will be needing to farewell friends at St Alfred's. 2 years may not sound like a long time, but it's felt like half a lifetime in ministry for us." Little did he know. Reverend Andrew Harper joined the staff team in 2002, and he led this evening congregation from 2002 until 2005. After Andrew left, I effectively took over leading in 2006. Weihan and I kept in touch during these years as he completed his studies, was ordained, and began serving as an ordained minister in Roeville. When he told me that he was thinking about graduate study, I invited him to join our staff team again, part-time, as this would allow him the space and the time to do his studies while keeping him involved in church ministry. So Weihan rejoined us in February of 2007, and I commissioned him for the second time, and this time as a 10 hours per week assistant minister with particular responsibility for young adults. That was the year we finally moved out of the old St. Alfred's. Could you put up that one picture that I asked for us to see? This was Moving Sunday in October of 2007. That was the evening congregation at the time. The building looks like it's been slightly cropped. But you'll just see there at the front, there's a pram, there's a younger-looking Valerie and a younger-looking Weihan sitting there on the grass. And we are just about to leave that evening, having started the evening service in what's now the hall, and then moving down Kunang Road to Old Orchard Primary School, where we concluded the evening service, and then we were there for the next till January of 2009, so 15 months or so. So Weihan rejoined us at a time of great change and great stress for the staff team, but great promise because we were finally building. As Weihan's main responsibility was to do his graduate research, I remained the nominal leader of the evening congregation for the next 3 years. However, we began a transitional leadership structure when I asked Weihan in 2009 to chair a small leadership team for the evening congregation comprising Helen Petering, Kieran Carr, himself as chair, and me really sort of just floating around on the edges. It's called ex officio. Then in March 2010, with the doctorate heading hopefully towards completion, I commissioned Weihan for the third time, now as full-time senior associate minister. And over the last 2.5 years, Weihan has done a wonderful job in that role, not only leading the evening congregation and young adult ministries, but in a whole range of ministry areas all across the life of St. Alfred's. Since 2001, Weihan has been part of the ministry team at St. Alfred's over 8 years then, first as a student minister, then as a part-time assistant, and finally as a full-time minister. In summary, during that time, Weihan has gone from 28 years of age to 40 years of age. He's gone from plain Weihan to, as Sarah happily announced at the start of the service, Reverend Dr. Weihan. He's gone from newly married to his beloved, Valerie, to married with 3 children. Perhaps the quiver is full. That's not prophetic. It's been a very important period of growth for Weihan personally and as a minister, and many of us at St. Alfred's have been blessed to share in some of that growth. Although Weihan is leaving the staff team, he and the family are not leaving us completely. Weihan's new role with CMS will mean that he will likely be away many Sundays of the year, so he and I and Valerie have agreed that they will remain members of the morning congregation. You go, oh, at that stage. This way, Val and the children particularly can come to St. Alfred's and continue relationships and know that they're in a church where they're loved and where they understand things, how things work. And even if Weihan is away, they can still come to church and be part of a church community that they know. Now, Weihan and I have agreed that he will not do any public ministry at St. Alfred's for at least the next 12 months. So you need to release him from any expectations that you might have, however subtle they are, from meeting your needs. Tonight we're going to release him from all the responsibilities of ministry here at St. Alfred's. And that's to give him space to begin his new role and hopefully to avoid any confusion of the role here at St. Alfred's. I know from my conversations with Weihan that he wants to be a good steward of all that God has given him. And with that in mind, I just want to reflect briefly on that passage from Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. I want to reflect on that in general first. Just what are the sorts of things that come out of this bit of scripture that have some sort of meaning for us, and then draw some just brief conclusions for what I think it might mean for Weihan. This parable comes near the end of Matthew's gospel. It is part of Jesus' final teaching before he dies. And Jesus knows that he's going to go away, and he knows that he's going to come back. He doesn't know when. So he's telling some stories towards the end of Matthew's gospel about that sort of idea, about what happens when the master goes and then he returns. What do you do in that time in between when the person in charge is away? How do you act? So the focus of the parable is what do the servants do while the master is away? And the teaching is really for us. What do we do as followers of Jesus in between him leaving and until he returns? And there are some major themes in this parable that are worth just drawing your attention to. The first theme is one of stewardship. We learn from the parable that everything we have belongs to God, and what we have has been given to us by God. We're like the servants in the story. We've been entrusted with the master's property for a time. We don't own what we have, we are stewards of what we have. So when you think about the time, the money, the opportunities, the relationships that we have, they will only last for a time. They've been given to us and we are to steward them. They're not ours forever. And that's also true of ministry. Ministry roles don't last forever. They're given to people and we are to be stewards of them. The second theme is about talents. In the story, the word talent itself is an amount of money. And you see in verse 15, it says there that to one, he, representing God, gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to their ability. The amount differs with each individual, but the teaching there is that God is giving things to everyone, different types of things, maybe different magnitudes of responsibility, different levels of responsibility. But today the word talent doesn't strictly mean money, it means natural ability. And some people are incredibly gifted, aren't they? Others are more modestly gifted. But the point of one of the points of the parable is that everybody is gifted to some extent, and God has given, as the giver of everything, he's given talents to everybody who can use them then. And God wants us to be good stewards of what he has given us until the Lord returns. The third theme is around the theme of accountability. God expects us to use those talents. He wants us to make the most of what he's given us. You get that sense in verse 19 when Jesus tells us that after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts. And in the story, 2 servants do well, but the third is called a wicked, lazy servant, verse 26, because he buried his talent. Now, most of us, when I think we hear the word wicked, we'd think of something really horrible, maybe something criminal. But in the story here, what's wicked is not using your God-given talents. That's quite serious, I think. You're not using what God has given you to steward, not using it well, but burying it is described as wicked. And the ending of the story makes it quite clear that God will judge seriously those who don't use what has been given to them. The fourth theme is around fear. I know there are many reasons why people might not use the talents, the gifts, the opportunities that God has given them. There could be any number of reasons. But the one that's highlighted in this story is fear. Notice verse 25. The man who buried his talent said, "I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground." Now, whether he understands the character of the master or he's got it completely wrong, the point is he was given something, entrusted with it, and his emotional reaction is fear. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make any mistakes because I'm just going to get told off. And fear is a major reason why many people bury their talents, because we have these little voices in our head that sometimes say things like, you can never do that. Who do you think you are? Or our own little voice going, what if I fail? I'll look stupid. And that's fear. And that stops us even getting onto the first block and giving it a shot. But if you trust God, you can do far more than you might imagine you are even capable of. With the help of the Holy Spirit, God can help us overcome our fears. I can remember how petrified I was when I first preached, and I couldn't possibly have imagined that that was going to be my life for the next umpteen years, 20 years now. If we trust God and rely on the empowering of the Holy Spirit and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, we can all do far more than we might imagine. So please don't let fear be the reason you stop serving God in some way. And the last theme is about results. There are some positive and negative results of what happens in the story, negative and positive results of what the servants do with their talents. Firstly, negatively, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's verse 28 in paraphrase. The master says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. So if you have a talent and you don't use it, you will lose it. Think about the athlete who doesn't train. Think about the musician who doesn't rehearse. Think about the minister of the gospel who doesn't preach or teach. If we don't use it, we will lose it. That's the downside in the story, but the story also has positive results. There are rewards. Look at verse 23. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So what a great series of rewards there. I think there are three. First of all, you get the affirmation of God himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. Secondly, you get promotion. You've done well in something small or smaller. Now I'm going to give you something larger. You've been entrusted with a smaller responsibility and found to be a good steward, a good worker. Now I'm going to give you more responsibility. That's promotion. And lastly, you get to party with God in some way. Come and share your master's happiness. Weihan, we know that you know this parable. You probably know this parable in the Greek. And we know that you believe this parable, and you've probably taught this parable to others. And we know that you want to be a good steward of all that God has entrusted to you. God has gifted you in many ways, and we know that you have worked hard using your gifts, serving God and his people at St. Alfred's. We know because we've seen this most obviously in your public preaching and teaching and your leadership of various ministries and in your leadership more recently of growth groups. Many adults, young adults here particularly, will know more privately from your mentoring and your pastoral care and your leadership at camps and your direction of team meetings. Others, particularly those of us on staff, but no doubt others of you who are leaders of something, will have seen how you've used your gifts in organising and planning and your ability to give clarity and direction and structure and your amazing ability to read your own writing and to remember what it is you've written. You watch Weihan at meetings, write notes. There is no way anyone else would be able to read what he's written down. God has given you a good mind, and you've used it not only to serve here at St. Alfred's, but also the wider church through your doctoral research, your teaching at Ridley, and your involvement in the wider Anglican church. You've been a faithful servant here at St. Alfred's, using your talents to bless and to grow and to encourage and to teach us. St. Alfred's can be a demanding place, as you indicated, because there is so much ministry to be done and so many people to relate to, so many decisions to be made, and so many gospel opportunities. It is a tiring business being on the ministry team at St Alfred's. Yet, Weihan, you have shown resilience in the midst of the pressures and been able to continue with grace when things have been tough. You have been faithful in what God has given you here, and it is now not a surprise to me that God has put a bigger challenge before you. Perhaps I can say in the language of verse 21, you have been faithful with a few things, although I know what those few things add up to. You have been faithful with a few things, now God has put you in charge of many things. And although it's more important that you hear this from God himself one day, I still want to say on behalf of all of us here at St Alfred's, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to bless you.